right, let's get going. Hour number three. The bioweapon war on humanity, humankind, continues. They are not slowing down at all. There are some signs that perhaps there are about to be new things introduced, shall we say? New viruses, new bacterial infections. Who knows? What's going around now is nasty stuff. I don't believe it's COVID. It bears no resemblance to the original COVID going back 2 years ago. It's something that does put people in bed. Unfortunately, many of them, as you heard in hour one tonight, go to the hospital, which is probably the worst place that some of them could go because they're not going to come out. And that's the sad truth. There are many angles to this story. We try to track it for you three times a week here with Erica Kahn, and she is back tonight as we take another stab at it. Erica, hi. Welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be back.
We have so many angles in this thing, and if anyone has studied it from our side of the fence, we're not on the inside any more than you have, I don't know who it would be. But I would say that, in my opinion, as a non-scientist, the more we look, the more we seem to come up with data that suggests that this bioweapon has even more ways of upsetting and dysregulating the human body, leading to death, than we originally thought. It just keeps growing. This thing is incredibly sophisticated.
I would agree, and that's going off of what they've told us. Never mind what they haven't told us.
Which is 98% of it or more.
Yeah. I think it's a safe assumption we're not getting the full story.
No, we're not. Now, if you look in guests, what I want to do first, we have a special guest, Ann Blake Tracy, will join us in a little bit to talk about something that is really mind-boggling about this whole effort to allegedly fight COVID. Wait till you hear this. But first, if you look under guests, you'll find one or two links there to videos. And one of them has to do with 5G. Now, this is important, and it's simply LED streetlights. We all have heard about them. Many of you already have them. But what's really in those LED streetlights? And I'd like you to look for that link under Jeff and Erica there in hour three and find it and play it. Now, I'm going to play it here. There's not much verbiage. What it is, it appears to be someone with a hard hat, although it says TikTok on the hard hat. But this gentleman is up high, right adjacent to a street lamp, an LED street lamp. And let me just play the video and we'll explain. It's very short, it's like 10 seconds.
This is an LED street light. Let's see what's inside. Uh-oh. Apparently, this is an LED 5G street light. It's pretty neat.
And what he did was open the bottom panel on the LED street light and dropped it down. It was hinged. It is hinged. And there's a big 5G label right on the inside of the housing, right there. So the LED streetlight is doing much more than just emitting light. It's emitting 5G. And we all knew this was coming because 5G is millimeter wave and it has a relatively short reach. So they were talking about having to do things like this. Well, it's being done. Is 5G ready to roll out coast to coast now? No. When will it be ready? Probably another year. It's taking time. And in the meantime, some of these companies are actually just boosting 4G and referring to it as their 5G. Well, it's not. When 5G is fully deployed, what will it do to us? Your guess is probably as good as ours, but we know it's not going to be a healthy proposition. What did you think of this little video when you saw it?
I had heard, you know, things to that effect, or maybe seeing short videos like that. But it's evident these LED lights are, you know, if you're wondering why they look strange, well, they're more than street lights.
Absolutely. And do remember that they're talking about actually embedding some of the antennas in the roadways. They're certainly putting things up on top of elementary schools, believe it or not, on top of churches and church steeples. Any high ground is fair game for the 5G and the cellular communications ghouls who will pay people, and unfortunately the people will accept the money, and they will allow these antennas to go up on their roof, bathing their surrounding neighbors and neighborhoods with God only knows what. It's not good. Now, you sent me another video that is really rather disturbing, although God knows we've had so many disturbing videos. This has to do with the Australian Open tennis tournament, a woman tennis player. Well, tell us what it is and I'll play it.
It's a clip of this female tennis player. I'm not sure who she is, but she's on the court and in some sort of distress and begins, I think, clutching her chest. And it becomes very evident that she's in a lot of pain. And this goes on for, I don't know, 30 seconds or so, and she's just at the end of the video clip, she's just doubled over. She can't continue.
She actually drops first down to a kind of a squat position and then falls forward, controlled, onto her knees, and is constantly grabbing her chest, as Erica said. This woman is in excruciating pain. Now, we want to remember that already in the Australian Open, they threw the defending champion out. They ejected him from the country. He was deported. But what you're not hearing a lot about is the fact that four players now have had to drop out of the Australian Open with enormously painful heart and chest pains, and many more other players apparently, reportedly, either tested positive for COVID, whatever that is, or had to withdraw because of chest pains. We're seeing just an abominable record of people's lives being ruined. These athletes will never play again, most of them. Pericarditis, if that's what they have, pericarditis, I don't know, but it looks like it. It could be they have clots in their hearts. We don't know. This is a complex issue. But they're done. They're finished. At least they're still alive for the moment.
Yeah, that heart doesn't repair. I mean, the heart muscle, you know, it will heal, but it will be replaced with scar tissue. And you will not have a normal heart after that.
Nor a normal life expectancy, apparently.
No. Was it 5 years, maybe? And at which point you will need a transplant.
Now, not to hold out false hope, but I think you may remember I did run a story a couple of days ago, and I talked about it here. Was it Friday? They have somehow, the biggest problem with heart transplants is tissue rejection. Is that a genetic thing? It must be, Erica, huh?
Well, yeah, you've got an organ from somebody else, and your body detects that, and so that can be a problem, yes.
Well, what they've done is actually somehow genetically tweaked pigs so that their hearts no longer emit whatever chemistry is involved in causing tissue rejection. And they just transplanted a pig's heart into a human being, a GMO pig's heart, last week. I haven't seen anything about the patient dying, but if that is true, and they've somehow come up with a way to stop the tissue rejection aspect of putting a pig's heart in human beings, you're looking at a pretty big growth industry, I would think.
Oh,
most
yeah.
Especially with the kill shots.
Well, if there's any people left, I mean, this is going to dwarf the cancer industry. I mean, cancer will be a part of this, but this has the potential to be enormous. Just everything, all the fallout, all the consequences from this one injection.
One little shot with, we might hasten to add, 500 trillion mRNA packets with spike protein.
Mm-hmm.
500
That's what they're
trillion.
Telling us. That's what we know about, maybe.
Thank you. Well said. Yeah, yeah. So do look at the two videos under there, what's really in those LED streetlights. I'll be putting them up in headlines later. And the woman tennis player dropping to her knees. There are so many of these heartbreaking videos. Remember Tiffany Dover? all of you?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
The brave young nurse with her whole life ahead of her, kids. What is she, 30, 31, something like that? And she took one of the first bioweapon kill shots on live internet streaming and passed, well, fell over, fell to the floor. And they tried to cover up the fact that she died either the same day or the next day. Gone. And how many have been murdered since then? That's murder. The vax manufacturers
sure
know. They know damn well what's going on. And I might say there are a lot of other people who know exactly, precisely what's going on, who are working in the media spotlight now on the internet. They know what's going on. No names needed. Okay. If you have been a long-time listener, you'll know that Anne Blake Tracy has been a guest on this program many times over the years. She has been uniform in her dedication to attempting to sound the alarm about SSRIs, otherwise known as antidepressants. Now, what could be wrong with an antidepressant if you're depressed, huh? Well, a whole hell of a lot. Now, there's another angle to this, and I'm going to ask Erica to explain it and why Anne is on with us tonight. Erica, tell us about these two organizations that we have.
Yeah, so it's America's Frontline Doctors and the COVID Critical Care Alliance, Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance.
Right.
These two organizations have been advocates of early treatment for COVID, which entails, you know, the cocktails of hydroxychloroquine and the azithromycin or the ivermectin and whatever else, you know, typically went along or goes along with that. But as time has gone on, various other, I guess, pharmaceuticals have been added to the mix to not only prevent, more so to treat COVID or long-haul COVID, and or the fallout consequences from the vaccine. And one of those, surprisingly, is Prozac or fluvoxamine. Apparently there's been some study looking at the anti-inflammatory effects, I guess, of these SSRIs in people that have neurological symptoms from COVID or from the vaccine. It was sort of shocking to me. These things seem to be rife with side effects. And it's only a short course, about 2 weeks, but that seems to be enough to, I guess, cause some sort of habituation to it, where if you come off of it too quickly, I mean, it can be almost suicidal. But I'll defer to Anne. I don't know that much about it. It's not my area of expertise, but it is, I don't know, curious that this would be part of a infectious disease protocol.
I'll tell you that when Anne told me about this, she emailed me, and I was actually dumbfounded. I was stunned. And short course or not, it doesn't really matter. This stuff is really toxic, really dangerous, and fluvoxamine is Luvox or Prozac, however you want. And Anne has always called these, no matter what name they give them, Wellbutrin. She calls them Prozac 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. It's all the same kind of thing. When you mess with the serotonin in the body, you're messing and asking for trouble. So we have Simone Gold's America's Frontline Doctors recommending fluvoxamine or Luvox or Prozac for COVID treatment and the vax injured. Now,
correct,
Simone Gold's
yeah.
organization, Erica, you found something else out today. They're advocating and prescribing a whole bunch of pharmaceuticals. What's going
yeah,
on? How many were there?
There was probably seven or
yeah.
eight. And it was the Pierre Curie's organization as well. I guess they're just grasping at straws as to how to treat these people that are afflicted with whatever this bioweapon. But the list of pharmaceuticals seems to be growing by the day. I mean, these are not routine drugs, I would say.
There's
money in treating this. There is a lot of money for the pharmaceutical industry in treating this.
So we have America's Frontline Doctors. Simone Gold runs that organization. Dr. Pierre Corey, FLCCC Alliance.
Yeah.
And they're both recommending antidepressants. Now, let's just put the others aside, the other pharmaceuticals aside, and concentrate on this. Ann, I'd like you to meet Erica Kahn. Say hello to Erica, Ann.
Hi, Erica.
Hi, Ann. Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you. Sorry we had to meet this way, though.
All right. When you first saw this, Ann, I forget which group it was, and you emailed me, what were your thoughts? Honestly, what were you thinking? I know you were surprised. You had to be. I was shocked. But
well,
what are you thinking?
I, for a long time, have said I wouldn't put anything past them. If they can sell a drug, they can come up with the best line of BS you've ever heard, as long as it'll sell. I mean, after 9/11, I don't know if you know, but Pfizer handed out Zoloft to everybody for free.
No, I didn't know that. Really?
Oh, yeah.
What a nice company, that Pfizer.
You got a customer for a long time.
Wow. Okay, so what do you know about America's Frontline Doctors, for example, or the FLCCC Alliance, whichever? What are they actually doing? How long are they proposing people take this stuff? And what the hell value could it be?
From what I understand, they want them to use it for about 2 weeks. But at fairly high doses. And that concerns me, too. I mean, we already know that one 30-milligram dose of Prozac will double the level of cortisol. One dose does it. Cortisol is what they test to see if you're under stress or if you're depressed. If it's elevated, you're considered to be stressed or depressed. And it does it with one dose. I called an endocrinologist once, just out of curiosity, and said, can you tell me how long the human body can tolerate having cortisol doubled on a daily basis? He said, oh, my gosh, you can't do that to someone. I said, well, if you could, how long would you think a human could tolerate that? He said, a month, maybe two. And then he said, three at the very most. And then he said, why are you asking me this? And I said, well, that's what one single 30-milligram dose of Prozac does. He said, oh, no, no, Prozac is a wonderful drug. I had to give him the study done by the manufacturer themselves, but it was done in Italy. And because it was done in Italy, they didn't have to report it to doctors in the U.S. Good luck finding a doctor that knows anything about it unless they've read my book. And they won't. It's 500 pages long, and they don't take time to read it.
I can see where they're coming up with a rationale now for it, because cortisol is immune suppressive at high levels. So they could be trying, because the consequences of this infection when it gets out of hand is really, you know, overactivation of the immune system. And they're probably trying to dim that somewhat. And they figured out they could use Prozac for that. If that's one of the mechanisms of action, if it does raise cortisol levels, well, then you've got some immune modulating effects with it. But at what cost? I mean, they are, if 30 milligrams does that, and I know for the vaccine injured, they're recommending two 25 milligram doses per day, and for long haul COVID, two 50 milligram doses per day, then that's very high.
Mm-hmm.
For a period of 2 weeks, yeah.
And Del Shannon, the singer from the 60s, was on it for 2 weeks at 20 milligrams and shot himself.
Oh, my goodness.
I had a case in Wyoming where a man took only two pills, killed his wife, daughter, infant, granddaughter, and then himself.
Wow.
And the jury ruled, after hearing the drug company's own expert explain that if you increase serotonin by interfering with the metabolism of serotonin, which is what a serotonin reuptake inhibitor is you're inhibiting the reuptake, which is the metabolism. And he explained that when you do that, what you should expect is impulsive murder or suicide. Impulsive. And the poor man had only taken two doses before he killed his whole family. Of course, the jury ruled in our favor that the drug was the reason.
And that never makes the headlines.
Oh, no, of course not. You don't want that to get out to your customers. No.
How?
It's just awful.
And just a quick general question, a semi-aside here. How is the SSRI industry doing now compared to, say, 5 years ago? Is the curve going up? Is the curve sort of staying the same? Or are we still seeing that constant increase in prescriptions for these killer drugs?
Constant increase. And I cannot keep up with the cases. I mean, we just had that man over the weekend that pushed the woman in front of the subway in New York. He had been drugged for 20 years.
Rittenhouse case. Hold on, Ann. Excuse me. The guy in New York, I followed that. I posted that story. It was a black guy. And blacks don't apparently like Asian women, at least some of them. And pushed her right in front of the train. Now, you're saying you were able to find out that that guy was on SSRIs for 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, according to the sister.
All right. Go back to the Rittenhouse thing next. What were you saying?
In the Rittenhouse case, the fellow that came at him screaming, I guess, that he was going to kill him, was serious because he'd just gotten out of a psych ward where he had been because he was suicidal. So can you guess what they gave him? And he had just been let out. He was serious. I have a gun for situations like that myself because I've seen so many of these cases. And I've talked to people who have actually done something to someone who say they would have preferred somebody killing them before they did what they did that was so completely out of character. They're devastated by what they've done.
How can these drugs derange the human psyche so much that people do these things and afterward... don't even know.
They work like LSD or PCP. And the very first thing they saw is that these drugs repressed REM sleep. When you repress REM sleep, what do you end up with?
Psychosis. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what's happening. There's a disorder called the REM sleep disorder. And they have found that 86% of those that they've diagnosed with REM sleep disorder are taking an SSRI antidepressant. 86% of them. And in REM sleep disorder, what you do is act out your worst nightmare.
Gosh,
that's how you have wonderful moms like Andrea Yates killing their own children.
Mm-hmm.
that's why I cannot even begin to keep up with the cases at this point of mothers killing their kids. They're absolutely everywhere all day long.
And never make the news. They keep real quiet.
Well, never talk about the drugs, because, of course, they didn't get enough drug, or it would have helped them. That's the story.
Well, I remember in the beginning when we first started talking, I don't know, 15-plus years ago, you were, first thing you did in any of these mass shootings was try to find out the medical history of the shooter. And in almost virtually every single case, these people were drugged to the max with SSRIs. So if they were mind-controlled killers, and many of them obviously were and are, they use this as some kind of a tool to gain access to control the minds of these poor unfortunates, or maybe they're just psychopathic killers in waiting, but whatever.
All you got to do is have them go to a movie that's violent, or a video game. Play a video game that's violent. What are you going to dream about? Comedian Bill Hartman's wife suffered that, and she was writing a screenplay about a woman who shoots her husband while he's sleeping.
Well, talk about acting out.
What was she dreaming about?
Yeah.
Exactly. She was horrified about what she had done. As soon as she found out it was real and not a dream, she was calling her sister saying, "Oh, my gosh, how can this be? There was no reason for it." And then, of course, she took her own life.
I am hearing more reports of suicides now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
COVID suicides. Right.
You've got the component in the vaccine itself to increase the serotonin by interfering with the metabolism, and that's in the form of the polyethylene glycol.
Okay.
Yeah, it does the same thing.
Okay.
And that's in Miralax, and you've got all kinds of reports of people on Miralax doing similar things and going crazy.
Are we in a second generation? Are we in a second generation SSRI now? Or are we still in the first? Chemically.
Well, they've got SNRIs out. But none of that really means anything. As long as you're interfering with the serotonin metabolism, you're producing all of these things. And they've known it since, the 1950s, when Dr. Mm-hmm. Stuhlman first started looking into it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
But nobody reads research. It's just crazy. If they would read the research, especially the research that existed before it became financially advantageous for the research to show the exact opposite, they would learn the truth, which is what I included in my book. I mean, what their own expert testified to in that case is exactly what all that research shows. But because they put out all this new so-called research that's bought and paid for, I mean, the world's leading expert on medical research said back in 2005 that 90% of the research at that point was either tainted or outright bogus due to influence from the industry.
Yeah, it's even worse now. Some of these studies that are coming out in so-called peer-reviewed journals, they're all fabricated.
I know. They just pay doctors to sign them. They've
whole
done
cloth,
research.
Whole cloth fabrication, lies. Just whole cloth crap.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really scary.
Okay,
because
I have another.
Doctors read it and believe it.
Sure. A quick question here. Erica mentioned growing numbers of suicides among COVID patients, not necessarily long haul either, COVID patients.
Right.
No work is being done, and it'd be very difficult to do, to find out how many of those people who suicide out are actually on SSRIs already. I would be willing to bet that quite a considerable number of them are.
And I've been trying to warn them.
Well, I can tell you that when a lot of these vaccine-injured people seek medical care, they're told that their symptoms are all in their head, and they're given some sort of a, you know, anti-anxiety, mm-hmm. antidepressant medication.
I know.
So the abuse starts right after the injection. You know, they won't have their injuries acknowledged or treated. They're just dumbed down.
Well, but how did they get dumbed down? They've had antidepressants for years.
Mm-hmm.
And clear back in 92 or 93, there was research done showing that these drugs turn the brain cells into corkscrew shapes.
Mm-hmm.
The actual brain cells into corkscrew shape. Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
I thought, okay.
Well, let me go back to these two groups that are proposing and recommending fluvoxamine, Luvox, Prozac, for COVID treatment and for the treatment of the vax-injured people that come to their group for help. So what? That's 25 milligrams twice a day from America's frontline doctors.
That's for the vaccine injured.
That's for the injured.
My gosh.
And for the long haulers, it's 50 milligrams twice a day for 2 weeks.
And that's way beyond what they say is toxic. And yet I talked to the researcher he was doing research to see what the toxic level of Prozac was. Of course, they didn't hire him to do it until like 7 years after Prozac was on the market. I said,
The train has left the station.
Exactly. I said, isn't this a little late? He said, well, that's what I thought. But anyway, he was shocked because he found that the drug was accumulating in brain tissue at a rate 100 times greater than what was in the blood.
Yeah, I had heard that. And I think that's because there's a fluoride molecule on it, and the body just...
It could easily be, yeah.
It doesn't get rid of it that readily. So it does accumulate, right. And it has very toxic effects down the line.
Yeah, and they have no idea how long it would ever take to flush it out, because who's going to do that research? Nobody's going to pay for that.
Well, I think some of, you know, I'm you know, not talking from any experience here, but I think that when you take these psychoactive drugs, that there's some rewiring in the brain that occurs that doesn't get reversed, even when you come off the drug.
Well, no, because it stays in the brain for so long after.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, they're also prescribing benzodiazepines in some cases. And those are horrendous to try to come off of.
I know.
So it's almost, I don't know if they're just trying to pacify.
To come off an antidepressant.
Yes. I don't know if they're just trying to pacify people for a period of time until, I don't know.
Or finish them off so you don't have anybody left to sue them for anything.
I don't
understand
it either.
It's just managing symptoms. That's it.
And
managing symptoms.
These two groups are absolutely recommending fluvoxamine. I don't get it. I do not get it. And 2 weeks, boom, and you're off.
I always said these are not antidepressants. They are dissociative anesthetics.
Should work,
like
yeah.
PCP. because you take brainwave patterns of people on them. As they're sitting talking to someone, the brain shows they're in a total anesthetic sleep state and dreaming. While they appear alert and functioning. Look at Princess Di's driver.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew. It's just simple. I called the police in Paris. I said, you got a driver on Prozac. And then I explained why. I said he had almost three times the legal limit. And I said, you can't drink that much alcohol unless you're on an antidepressant because it causes you to crave alcohol. In fact, that's one of the forms of mania, and they cause mania so quickly. That's why most psychiatrists would not prescribe these in the beginning. But then once they added the benzos, saying, oh, that'll help counter it, right.
Oh,
at least they got them prescribing, and now we've got the mess we've got.
Well, Anne, let me ask you to wind this up and just give your words of wisdom to anyone out there who's got COVID, who goes to these groups, or anyone, any doctor, who suggests getting on antidepressants, just for a couple weeks. What would you tell these people? Just for a couple weeks.
Run. Run fast and don't look back. It is just, it's crazy. I'd tell them the same thing I just told you. I mean, look how quickly I think I mentioned once before on a show we did, Jeff, that I had just had a case come in of a...
Did we lose Anne?
It looks like it.
Okay. Well, if we can get her back, we'll say a proper good night. So there you go. There's a look from the expert on SSRIs, and any of you out there who are considering, we'd suggest and urge you to reconsider before you jump in, even for 2 weeks. Anne, are you back? Hello, Anne. All right. Well, I think that was the disconnect. We have some human stories here. People who have been injured, damaged permanently by this bioweapon. And we can read some of these. We've got about six or seven here at least. You have any of those queued up? Yeah.
Yeah.
Erica. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see.
Amin Anari?
Yep, I've got.
Go ahead and why don't you read this first one, and let's see what we come up with here. Amin Anari, Pfizer.
Okay, this is a young man. I'm not, he looks maybe in his 30s or so, maybe 40. Loss of 60% vision in left eye and central serous retinopathy. My name is Amin Anari. I'm a believer in science and a vaccine advocate, and here's my story. 5 days after my first shot of COVID-19 Pfizer vaccination, I started having blurry vision in my left eye, and in the course of 3 days, I lost 60% of my vision in that eye. After several thorough examinations, doctors, optometrists, and retina specialists all diagnosed me with a condition called CSR, short for central serous retinopathy. A small vein ruptures, leaking fluid under the retina, causing retinal detachment and partial blindness. There have been other cases reported post-COVID-19 vaccination experiencing the exact same condition. It has been scientifically explored and articles are published on it. My doctor, Dr. Christopher Haddad, who is also a member of staff in North Vancouver's Urgent and Primary Care Center, officially states that, quote, since we cannot be sure that my partial blindness is caused as a result of an adverse effect of the vaccine or not, the risk I will be taking by receiving further doses of the vaccine outweighs the benefits of it. Therefore, He has filed an official exemption request asking British Columbia Center for Disease Control to exempt me from further doses in order to protect me. A request which the British Columbia Center for Disease Control is denying because they state that there is no definite causal link between the vaccination and my partial blindness. However, they fail to deny that there may be a possible link. That said, right now, I am basically faced with a situation where British Columbia Center for Disease Control is telling me my condition can get worse, or I can even potentially go blind. But I have to receive more COVID-19 vaccine doses regardless.
Oh, God.
Despite being a vaccine advocate, I have been deprived of my human rights as a citizen for the last few months. I have a flight in a month to go see my grandfather, who was on his deathbed, and my mom, who is suffering from lung cancer, whom I haven't seen for 3 years. My flight is about to get canceled because the new laws do not let anyone with only one dose of vaccination leave the country. I tried to gather all my strength so many times during the past few months to just go and receive my second dose in order to follow the laws and to be able to see my family. But the fact that science says there is an above-average chance that I may lose more of my sight has driven me to anxiety attacks, night terrors, and disabling depression. In my case, the scientists say they cannot know for an absolute fact if this condition is directly caused by the aforementioned medicine, if the medicine triggered an underlying condition in my eye, or if it's unrelated to the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine altogether. What we know for a fact is that since it happened soon after the vaccination, since neither I nor my family has had any preconditions of this sort before, and since there have been other similar cases almost identical to mine, there is an undeniable possibility that there could be a connection. The British Columbia Center for Disease Control is asking me to risk losing my vision while I'm consciously aware of the fact that this problem may get worse or happen to my other eye and render me essentially blind. This is a direct violation of my constitutional rights as a citizen and human being. I believe in science, justice, and democracy. From West Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
And
I mean,
no, it's just, it's ludicrous.
It's
completely
absurd.
Ludicrous.
Yeah. It's absurd. It's just...
This, look, with microclotting all around the body from the spike protein... Who knows what could cause things like that? Could be that. Like I say, this thing has so many ways of reaching out and ruining someone's life. It's not funny. And the human aspect of this is, of course, ignored by the mainstream media. And if it's out of sight, it's often out of mind. So the media is doing its job. Just look at the six corporations that own 95% of it plus, and you'll figure it out.
I mean, these are not uncommon now. These types of reports where people are really literally becoming disabled, incapacitated, there's just so many of them now.
It's an avalanche, and it's going to get worse. 6 to 9 months after the shot, that's when things seem to start turning real bad for a lot of people if they weren't knocked down immediately. Here's another one. My name is Jennifer, and I turned 20 October 2021, 20 years old. I am one of many victims of the corona vaccine. This summer, I chose to rely on the wrong people, the media. I took this vaccine to protect us from what is happening around the world, but instead, I became seriously ill. I was completely paralyzed in my legs after the Pfizer vax and got nerve damage that made me unable to hold things or have strength in my arms. I have no muscle activity in my legs and very little left in my arms. My side effects are that I am now in a wheelchair and have been for a few months now. Before all this, I was a young and healthy girl. Now I live my life in a bed and am worried about whether I will get worse. This is not a life for someone of my age. My life had only just begun. I have had to fight a lot to even get care, which I continue to fight for. I have not been treated well by the media or the care system. I made a mistake and thought I would get help and support from the media. But then they chose to lie to me once again. After that, I have then chosen to try to convey my journey and hope to find others who have had serious side effects so we can help each other. We are humans. We are people who wanted to take the vaccine to stop this pandemic. And you should be able to hang out with your elderly, but instead have been treated like we are no longer able to for the state, health care, and media. When are we going to get compensation for our injuries? How are we supposed to live? We who are unemployed, how are we going to get money? Who wants to hire someone who is in a wheelchair and can barely hold anything? What are we supposed to do? We get no answers to our questions, none at all, and will we ever even get any? So we lost somebody there. Did we lose Erica again?
I'm back.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's 8 out of 9 times, isn't it? Isn't it? I think it is.
I think so.
And Anne is in the background. Anne, welcome back. We just have time to say thank you very much for being here and for sharing that information. Anyone even thinking about doing this really should think again. Give everyone your contact information so they can go and at least look at your site, if not buy your book.
Okay. We're at drugawareness.org. Just drugawareness.org. And we have a database of cases if anybody wants to see a few thousand cases of what happens on an antidepressant. That's at ssristories.net. ssristories.net.
All right. Anne, thank you for being here. We'll talk to you again. Keep up the great work, as always. You're amazing.
Thank you, Anne.
I will. Oh, one last thing. Did you hear what happened to Alex Jones's wife?
Today?
No, it was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I do remember something about that. What was it?
He flipped out on an antidepressant.
That's right.
And it took 3 police officers to take her down. And just a few days later, they had someone that works with America's frontline doctors pushing the antidepressants for COVID. On HIV.
Gosh.
It's not going to stop, unfortunately. We're sitting on the sidelines.
How insane is that?
It is. Okay, Anne. Thank you again. All righty.
Thank you.
Good night.
Keep up the good work.
Good night.
Drugawareness.org for Anne Blake Tracy. And if you have any questions about SSRIs, you need to check with Anne how to get off of them, what to look for, and not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. But we did read a couple of quick stories. Do you have another one there that you want to do?
Let's see. Let's find a short one here. Okay, sure. This is Aiden Callahan, 17 years old. He took the Pfizer shot. It's in New Zealand. This is really tragic. Within 48 hours, I had slurred speech, and for 4 days, I had symptoms of head injury, confusion, dizziness, and difficulty talking. The second week, I had chest pain, tremors, purple hands, difficulty seeing, felt faint, slurred words, confusion, and my pupils were different sizes. My blood test showed my platelets at 838, which is way low. I was diagnosed with essential thrombocytemia, a rare blood cancer. I am still considered unvaccinated, with no vaccine pass, and my social life is restricted. I take aspirin 2 times a day, 20 milligrams. I have blood tests every 3 to 4 weeks and have been recommended chemotherapy. Pfizer vaccines can cause clotting. My blood cancer is a clotting cancer, and my bone marrow now overproduces platelets.
Wow. Another life destroyed. 17 years old. And yet, I don't see 100,000. I don't see 10,000 Americans. I don't see 1,000 Americans in the streets. I don't see it.
No, they're still lining up for boosters.
It's amazing. It is truly amazing.
Dystopic is what it is.
At the very least. Okay, my friend, thank you. Talk soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay. Have a good evening.
You too. And everyone out there, thanks for being here. We'll be back with you in 21 hours. See you then.